Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas, you've got us until 6 o'clock tonight. And in just a couple of moments, we are going to talk Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Before we welcome in Rosie, a quick reminder that when we wrap things up with Rosie, we're giving away two tickets to see the Indians take on the Kansas City Royals. Thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience and Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. The tickets are for Sunday, August 25th. Wait till the end of the interview to hear your cue to call. Rosie, we appreciate the time as always. Have you recovered from the marathon last night?
That was quite a ball game last night. And it's always nice when the team comes out on top in those, because obviously by the time you get into the late extra innings like they did, a lot is invested in there, and that's a tough one if you come up short. But the Indians got the big blow from Jose Ramirez and some clutch pitching from A.J. Cole at the end, and they were able to pull it out.
Yeah, and that was certainly one that they needed in order to keep pace with the Twins, who were able to take it to the White Sox last night. But, you know, Rosie, let's kind of shed some light on this incredible outfield that the Indians have put together, a very young outfield as well. And, you know, Rosie, it's really incredible just how well this group has hit and played all together really since mid-May. How much better do you think this group has been on the whole than a lot of us thought that they might be?
Well, I think better and maybe different personnel-wise than what we were expecting in spring training, because, you know, you look at it back then and Carlos Gonzalez had come in, you kind of figured that he'd be a big key for much of the season, but it just didn't work out there. And you weren't really sure what Jordan Luplow would bring because he was new to the organization, but he's been really solid. Actually, you kind of thought Greg Allen would be a part of it from the get-go, but he struggled early, but now is coming on. And, you know, I know Tyler Naquin has had some good stretches in the past, but due to injuries, you weren't really sure, and now he's really come on. And of course, Oscar Mercado is not come out of nowhere, but been a real nice surprise. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the key figures right now, Luplow, Mercado, and Naquin and Allen, and you know, it's easy to look back at spring training and say, huh? But it seems to be working really well.
Rosie, we're going to revisit some of those guys you mentioned here in just a moment, but is there a guy in this group that you believe has really exceeded some of the preseason expectations?
You know, I think for different reasons, probably Mercado, just because we didn't really know a whole lot about him. He did have the great spring, so, you know, you thought, well, maybe they're onto something. But, look, a lot of guys have great springs, and then it doesn't pan out. But, you know, he was intriguing because of that. Background-wise, it would be a big breakthrough season for him to do what he's done this year, and he certainly has done that. So I would say Mercado is the biggest surprise.
About 2 months ago, we had this same conversation about Jordan Luplow and, you know, what being sent down may have done to him. And you can't ignore the numbers that Greg Allen has put up since he has returned from AAA Columbus. Well, what kinds of things do you think have happened to him over the last month and change? Because, again, since he's come back, I mean, Rosie, he has been fantastic.
Well, I asked him about that yesterday, actually, because, you know, he's been going through this real nice stretch. And he just said, you know, each time he goes down, he tries to get better and figure some things out with his swing. And he says it kind of changes every year in terms of what works for him, which I thought was interesting. You know, it's not necessarily going back to what worked last year. You know, the game's constantly evolving, and then he's one of those guys who's trying to evolve with it. And, you know, so he said he's constantly making adjustments, and it just took him a little while to find what works well for him. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but he feels like he's found it now and is in a good place this last time that he's come up. And that started down at AAA Columbus. He felt some good things were clicking into place, and he's been able to continue that.
You mentioned Tyler Naquin a little bit earlier, and I know we've talked about him over the last few weeks, too. It just seems like what he is doing this year has been very, very quiet, and I'm not quite sure why that might be. But, Rosie, he's a guy the Indians certainly need in the lineup a little more often. I know he's been dinged up over the last couple of weeks here. Is he doing better? Is he all right?
I'm not sure, Bull, to be honest with you. He didn't play again last night, and I think if he's unable to go today, they'll put him on the injured list. Now, with that said, he did a pretty strenuous workout yesterday in terms of running the bases and hitting and everything that you need to do to be ready. Look, they don't want to put him on the injured list. They want him in there because he's been really good. And as he said yesterday, Montgomery was the one he hit the home run high off the foul pole against, back in Cleveland last week, and he wanted to face him again, but just wasn't quite ready to go. And with a hamstring, you got to be careful because if there is a setback, sometimes that can mean a long stretch without being able to play. So they're trying to be careful, but I think today would be that breaking point day. If he's unable to get in there, they'll probably make a move.
We're speaking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Don't forget, at the end of the interview, we're giving away a couple of tickets to see the Indians and Royals on August 25th. Rosie, Brad Hand has been so doggone good this year that we commonly think that something's wrong when he blows a save. Now, on Tuesday, you mentioned that, maybe his slider, sometimes when he's overworked or he's in there on consecutive days, maybe loses a little bit of something to it. You think that's a result of maybe being used a bit too much, or maybe we're getting to that point in the season where he might be a little bit fatigued?
His slider gets better with more use. I think I did say when he tries to get it to move more, that's when he gets in trouble and can kind of flatten out. He just has to kind of let it rip and let it do its thing. But when he's trying to get more movement on it, that's when he gets in trouble, and he's had that going on a little bit lately. He'll tell you he's not tired, and I tend to believe him, but he has had a heavy workload. And sometimes, it's funny, we look at radar gun and where does that stand and break on the slider. But I think a lot of times, if you are a little bit tired have you had a heavy workload, the command is something that you just don't have as much of. And I think that's fair to say. His command has been a little bit off. He's left a lot of pitches out over the plate that have been hit that weren't earlier in the season. So, that may be a telltale sign. They've tried to be really careful with him. He was pretty good last night, but I don't think you'll see him tonight. Who knows? I mean, he could go back-to-back, but he was up over 30 pitches last night, so I think they'll try and be careful with him tonight just based on what you said, the workload that's accumulated to this point in the season.
And it's tough nights like tonight. You'd like to give a lot of the guys that pitched in yesterday's game tonight off if possible, but, you used so many bullpen arms last night that you may have to go into this thing with the idea that there are going to be guys who are called on to pitch on consecutive nights. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this evening. Corey Kluber is back with the team on this trip. He's thrown a bullpen or two. What's the latest on him, and when might we expect him back as a part of this roster?
Back as a part of the roster, I have no idea. They just don't want to put that on him yet. But I will say he throws another bullpen tomorrow. And, I think they're still very much in that early build-up phase with this. The next step would be some sort of simulated game where he would face hitters and give it a go in that regard. And we just haven't heard anything on that radar yet. It sounds like they still just want to have him throw some bullpens and build up that way. I mean, he hasn't even thrown breaking pitches yet. So I think he's still a ways away. Bull, I wouldn't be surprised we're almost at the end of July. And if you think about it, this is not going to be one of those go to the minor leagues for one start to sharpen up and come back and be ready. I think he's going to need more than that. So if you time it out, he needs another couple of bullpens to start working the breaking pitches in, and then maybe a simulated game and 2, 3, 4 rehab starts in the minor leagues. You're starting to get close to September, and they may just wait until the roster expansion in September to activate him. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. Now, the caveat is it's Corey Kluber. So he could be back next week, right? or sometime in mid-August. But just the way it's starting to line up calendar-wise, I think you're kind of starting to see, a September type of situation for Corey.
That seems to make a lot of sense. And again, as you mentioned, look, this is the kind of thing that is certainly going to take some time. He's trying to build up his arm strength, and they're trying to lengthen him out here, so it certainly makes a lot of sense. Danny Salazar certainly has been making some really good progress of late also, and is it fair to expect him on the roster maybe over the next couple of weeks? Because early on, the reports seem pretty good on Salazar based on what he's done at AA and AAA.
Well, they'll have to make some sort of decision soon here because I believe he has one, maybe only two, rehab starts that he can make based on the amount of days that you're allowed to be on a rehab assignment. But everything's gone really well, and I believe his next one is tonight. And, you know, there's been no setbacks. I know people are hesitant to get too excited about it because of the setbacks in the past, but it seems like he's really making the good progress. And certainly, I mean, I think it's fair to say they have to make a decision in the next week to 10 days. So maybe you do see him here with the Indians.
And you mentioned, I think it was a week or two ago to us, that they seem to be bringing him along as a starter. And the idea, at least for now, seems like if they're going to bring him back, it seems as though they want to put him in the rotation. Is it still safe to assume that?
Well, yeah, and you build him up as a starter and plan on that because it's easier to go back the other direction than you know, just have him be as a reliever. But I think part of the equation there is the five-day routine is something that might be a little bit easier on his shoulder if there are issues, and they kind of don't want to mess with that. He seems to be in a good place with the five-day starting routine. Now, if there's a need in the bullpen and they need to switch that, they can. But at least for right now, where he is in his comeback, that five-day routine is important to him and is working well, so they're staying with it.
All right, Rosie, well, I wanted to hit on Jose Ramirez last week, but I decided to table that until this week. We can't ignore the run that he's been on. I mean, of late, he has just been sensational. Rosie, is there anything more to it then the confidence just continuing to build with each at-bat that's helped him return to the fire of old?
No, I don't think there is. I talked to him. Actually, we're going to air it tonight on the pregame, tonight or tomorrow. I had a conversation with him up in Toronto earlier this week, and he just said, there's nothing mechanical. It just, he needed to just get to a better place and kept working at it, and you know, a lot of it was pitch selection and, you know, swinging at better pitches and letting the bad ones go by, which for some reason he got away from. But, you know, mechanically, no. And it just took a while for him to come around. He said, yeah, was it frustrating? Absolutely. Were there disappointments along the way? Absolutely. But that never stopped him from working at it. His teammates believed in him. Terry Francona kept putting him in that lineup every night, and that helped. And here he is, the Jose Ramirez that we've seen in the past.
All right, Rosie, before we let you go, previewing tonight's contest, Plesac and Junis, as the Indians and the Royals have at it in Game 2 of this four-game series. What are we looking for tonight? Probably more, hopefully a 9-inning game tonight, not a 14-inning game.
Well, Plesac was pretty good against Kansas City on Sunday, and Junis was really good against the Tribe back in Cleveland last Saturday with a shutout baseball deep into the game. And so that'll be the challenge tonight for the Indians. How do they figure out Junis, who's really coming on? Yeah, the Royals have some starting pitching that's really starting to get rolling here down the stretch, and they can be a challenge. And when you face Junis and some others in that rotation, it can be a rough night for the offense, and that's what the challenge will be tonight for the Indians.
Absolutely. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy Kansas City, and we'll do it again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. Again, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We are opening up the phone lines, giving away two tickets to see the Indians and Royals on Sunday, August 25th against Kansas City, 440-322-0930. That's the number to call, 440-322-0930. Giving away two to see the Tribe and Royals at Progressive Field on Sunday, August 25th. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Matt Douglas and I need to step aside for a quick break. We'll come back with more Bullseye on the Afternoon right after this here on AM 930 WEOL.